funeral tonight, okay? I heard a story one time about the preacher was walking down the street one day, and there's four or five little boys out there playing, and he said to those little boys, he said, "How many of you boys like to go to heaven?" And all of them raised their hand but one, and the preacher said, "Son, you mean you don't want to go to heaven?" And he said, "No, sir." And he said, "You mean when you die, you don't want to go to heaven?" He said, "Oh, yeah, when I die, I want to go to heaven. But I thought you was making up a load for today, okay?" So we sang a lot about heaven and so forth, but I guess we do as much as we can to put it off as long as we can. But it's a great privilege for Virginia and I to be here tonight, and that was superfluous. It's a privilege anytime that we get to come here and be with you dear folks. And it's just such a joy to see what's already been done this week. I'm rejoicing at the testimonies, the testimonies of how God has used a man and his wife to shepherd a flock of people. And what God has done through those people that he has shepherded, it's been a great blessing to me. Just to sit and listen to the testimonies. We have a couple of things we want to do. I'm going to have Dr. James Ray, who was the General Director and President of BIMI for years, to come and make a presentation to Dr. and Ms. Baldwin. So I'm going to have them to come to the platform for just a few minutes, if you would, Dr. and Ms. Baldwin and Dr. Ray.
All right, great. This has been a great service. And I'll tell you what, if that woman just had 3 minutes to prepare that song, I'd still like to hear her sing when she has a whole hour or something. You know. That's wonderful. Brother Mr. Baldwin, you have impacted so many lives. And I think about a couple came into the city. They've impacted a city and a country. They've impacted the world. Missionaries around the world and the world at large through the missionaries you support. And for a great number of years, Brother Baldwin served on the board of BIMI, and I had the privilege of working with him, and he was the moderator of the mission, and it was a great joy. He always had just the right, you know, in a board meeting, you have these turbulent times, he always had just the right words to calm the waters, and we'd move on, and it was a great joy to serve with him. Thank you so much for all you've done, and on behalf of BIMI, we would like to present this to you, Dr. and Mrs. Lou Baldwin. Congratulations on 30 years of faithful and fruitful ministry at Crossroads Baptist Church. Thank you for your great contribution to worldwide evangelization and your outstanding leadership with Baptist International Missions Incorporated. God bless you. Thank you. We love you. Everybody at BIMI.
Virginia, you come, and when we had our 25th anniversary at I'm only 25 years short, okay? When we had our 50th anniversary, my wife and I had our 50th anniversary, and by the way, that was 9 years ago, so next year we'll have our 60th, okay? But they brought us a picture frame. And in that picture frame, there was 50 $50 bills. Now, we didn't bring the $50 bills back, okay? But we brought the picture frame back. And I want Virginia to maybe unveil the picture frame and give this to Brother and Ms. Baldwin.
Well, Mrs. Baldwin always tells the ladies at the ladies' Bible study, or when we have a missions meeting, that when she gives us a gift, she says it's always the right color and the right size. So tonight I'm giving you the right color and the right size.
Can you open it? Now, really, what this? Okay. what this is $30 bills. And now, we had a hard time finding that. In fact, we had to go back to our home state of Kentucky to do it, okay? So they may have to go there to get them changed. I heard about this gangsters from Chicago. They made some counterfeit money, and they made a mistake. And they made some $27 bills. And they said, what in the world are we going to do with them? They said, well, the people down in Kentucky, they don't know much, so we'll go down there and we'll get them exchanged for money, you know? So they went down there. No, hold on just a minute, okay? So they went down there and found these hillbillies down there and went in this store, and they said, hey, we've got some $27 bills here. Said, do you think there's any way we could get them cash? And the old hillbilly fumbled around for a few minutes. He said, sure, that's no problem. Said, you want 9 threes or 3 nines, okay? So I'm not sure how they're going to get those $30 bills cash, but you do as best you can. God bless you. I'm going to help my wife down. We'll both fall before we get down. Okay. You never know what a meeting may bring about. When I preached there at Fairfax Baptist Temple years ago and heard Dr. Lou Baldwin give a testimony before I preached, and I'll never forget going back to the motel room that night and saying to my wife, Virginia, this is a man that'll make a great difference in Black America. And for many, many years, I've been burdened. And I'm grateful to God that God put us together, and he has allowed me to help him in various situations and so forth. But it's just a great privilege to see what God has done for and through you, dear people. Let me tell you about Brother Gibbs last night. He had 4 or 5 books, and I don't have 4 or 5, okay? But recently, I wrote a book called The Fourth Quarter. Now, the cover is worth the price, okay? It's got that football helmet on there, The Fourth Quarter. But what it's about is this. The average person retires somewhere around 60 to 65 years old. And they live somewhere to be 80, 85 years old. That's today, okay? And so what this is about is how are you going to use the fourth quarter? And you can play a good game for 3 quarters and then get beat. Dallas Cowboys showed that Sunday night, okay? Now, So really, I mean, you know, if you don't finish well, it's not good, okay? And by the same token, you can be way behind in the fourth quarter and still catch up. And so that's what it's about. It's just using the last part of your life. Now you say, well, I'm not in the fourth quarter yet. We introduced this at leadership meeting this year, and one of the preachers had the audacity to say to me, Brother Baldwin, Brother Sisk, you've already finished your fourth quarter. And I said, okay, my next book is going to be named Overtime. Okay. but anyway, what it's about is just finishing the course with joy. And I believe it'll be a blessing to you. It's not worth that much, but I need $8 for it, okay? And I don't have any change, so if you just have $10 bills, you just give me that $10, okay? Anyway, they're out there on the back. I'm not going to say like Brother Gibbs, if you don't have the money, just take one, because I know you folks too well. Okay. And Brother Gibbs, he made it real clear, don't feel. Okay. Anyway, open your Bibles to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. And so many people have mentioned so many good things that Dr. and Ms. Baldwin have done, and hey, you could write a book, a big, big book, and just list the many things. And I guess the one thing that probably endeared us to them more than any one act in our lives was about 4 years ago when Virginia was going to have a tumor removed from her brain. And we had no idea what the situation was. The primary doctor gave very, very little help or hope and so forth. And I remember Dr. Baldwin calling, and a lot of people called, a lot of people wrote, and you know, you thank God for all of them and so forth. But I remember him calling and saying, Don, Jeanette and I are going to come and be with you during the operation. And I said, hey, no, you don't need to do that. That's a long way from D.C. to California and so forth. And we've got our pastor, we've got other support help and so on and so forth. And you don't. And he said, no, the church wants us to do it. We've already bought our tickets. We're going to be there. And they came, and just such a great comfort to us to have people like that. And, of course, you know the results. She's here, okay? And she didn't die, okay? And after we had prayed much and so forth, and all during the surgery, you know, praying and weeping and on and on and on, and Dr. Hunt came out and told us that the operation was successful, and that it was the tumor was benign. They had already done the biopsy and so forth, and you know, he was so encouraging. Said within a few days she'll be as good as new and so on and so forth. And it was just such a comfort to have Dr. Ms. Baldwin there. Our neurosurgeon was a black man, Dr. Gabriel Hunt. By the way, we didn't tell our folks in Kentucky that he was black, okay? But he was a black man. And Brother Baldwin, I noticed he looked a little bit funny when he saw Dr. Hunt. And so after we got the good news and prayed and thanked God and sang songs and different things and so forth, we went to the cafeteria. And I never will forget Brother Baldwin said to me, he said, Brother Sisk, you didn't tell me the neurosurgeon was black. And I said, Brother Baldwin, we weren't looking for color. We was looking for a neurosurgeon, okay? But he is a great surgeon and a great man. But Brother Ms. Baldwin, thank you. Thank you for being friends. And we've had a lot of friends through the years. But I don't know that we've ever had any friends any better than Dr. and Ms. Lou Baldwin. And thank you for letting us be your friend. You have your Bibles open. I'm not going to preach much tonight. You say you never have, okay? So it won't be nothing new, all right? But Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. I'm going to begin reading with verse 19. You follow me in your Bible, okay? Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them. And I love this next statement. And a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which is at Jerusalem. And they sent Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. About Barnabas, look what it says. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Dear Lord, I thank you for what my heart has felt tonight and last night and, Lord, so many times through the years here at Crossroads Baptist Church. I thank you, dear Lord, for what you have done through and for this good couple. And Lord, I thank you that now you have raised up Brother Michael, Brother Kenny, to continue this work here. And I pray, dear Lord, that your hands would be upon them in a special way. And I know that you have a great ministry for Brother and Ms. Baldwin. And they'll be used as probably as much as they ever have been used. And maybe even more than they've ever been used. And Lord, you're so good to provide in this nature. I thank you, dear Lord, for everything that you've done for these good people. And I thank you for the blessings that they've been so many of us. And thank you, dear Lord, that we have just a little bit of part in making this week a wonderful week for these people. Now, Lord, bless the service tonight, the rest of the service. Have your will and way in my heart and life. Help me to say what I need to say. Help me to refrain from what I don't need to say. And, Lord, I praise you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In the 11th chapter of the book of Acts, we see a great transition. Up until this point of time, the gospel had only been preached to the Jewish people. Now, Jesus had said very plainly, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. But up until the time of the persecution, the disciples of the Lord, who were Jewish people themselves, had only preached the gospel to Jewish people. But thank God we read in verse 20 these words, and some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, and by the way, from this point forward, the church at Antioch becomes the model church in the book of Acts. But when they came down to Antioch, they spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And then the Bible says, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. By the way, the Bible doesn't exaggerate, amen? It doesn't speak evangelistically. So even though the gospel had not been preached to the Gentile people, once they began to preach to them, a great number of people trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior. Now, after that had happened, the church at Jerusalem, the leaders of the church at Jerusalem, realized that this was something new. And so they looked around and tried to decide, who are we going to send down there to check this out? And they came up with a man by the name of Barnabas. And the Bible says of this, of Barnabas, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, in other words, he saw what God was doing. He saw that these people had been saved by the grace of God. And the Bible says he was glad, okay? And he exhorted them to continue in the word. When I read the account of the beginning of the church at Antioch, I see many similarities in the story and the beginning of Crossroads Baptist Church and a movement called COBA, Conference on Evangelizing Black America. Some 30 years ago, God put in the heart of a man, Dr. Lou Baldwin, to reach Black America. Sadly, for many years, this segment of our society had been neglected by fundamentalism. Now, that is not to say we were against them getting saved. We just weren't real aggressive in reaching them, okay? It's just a fact to our disgrace, okay? And so really, in fundamentalism, Bible-believing, independent Baptist Bible churches, you saw very few black people and even fewer people in those churches that were black and were leaders in the church. God raised up a man with a passion for his people. Amen. And in the past 17 years, an organization has developed that has facilitated the starting of independent Baptist churches in predominantly black areas all over America. And all over America today, we can find these churches not only reaching their local area, but being totally involved in worldwide evangelization. like Barnabas, when I see what God has done through Crossroads Baptist Church and through this organization called COBA, I'm glad. But tonight, rather than just thinking about that, what I want us to center in on for just a few minutes is the words that were said about Barnabas. And when I was asked to come and speak at this meeting, immediately, I mean, as soon as Brother Kenny asked me during the mission conference, said, pick out the nights you can come. Immediately, Brother Kenny, this verse came to my mind. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. He said, well, if we're not careful, we'll give too much praise to man. Well, let me read you a verse before I start, okay? Romans 13:7. Yeah. Render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear. And honor to whom honor. In other words, he's saying, give tribute, give honor, give custom to those who are worthy of it. And therefore, when we talk about Dr. Lou Baldwin, we are certainly on scriptural grounds when we honor he and his good wife. Amen. By the way, I found a good verse yesterday, Brother Baldwin, and I read a proverb every day, and I found your crown in that proverb, okay? And here it is. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. isn't it amazing when you read through the Bible and, you know, it just at the right time God gives you something like that? But really, I could not help but think how appropriate that is, you know. And there's his crown sitting right beside him. And there she's been all these years. And so on and so forth. So let's think about what the Holy Spirit of God led Luke to write about a man by the name of Barnabas. He was a good man. Now, I don't know how many times through this country and around the world that when the name of Dr. Lou Baldwin comes up, that somebody will say, he's a good man. He is a good man. And by the way, I can say that from the depth of my heart. I've seen him in all kinds of situations. I've seen him when they found out that Jeanette had cancer. I've seen him when the city council told him he couldn't deal. I've seen him when he was just about as low as he could possibly be. And I've seen him when he's just about as high as he could possibly be. I've even seen him when he shot a bad shot on a golf course. You say, did he ever say a bad word? No, never heard him say a bad word. But I saw him spit one time right after that. And that grass turned brown after he spit, all right? So it's easy for me to say. And I mean, you're talking about being real. I'm as real as I can be tonight, okay? And that was a great message last night about being real. A good man. By the way, when you think about the word good, the simple fact is the reason Dr. Lou Baldwin is a good man is because, first of all, he has positional goodness. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. When we are in Christ Jesus, we have the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in reality, we stand before God just as if we had never sinned. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Thank God, when we trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the war is over. We have peace with God, and we have the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, everything else in our life is dependent on our having a right relationship with Jesus Christ. And Dr. Lou Baldwin gives testimony of the fact that there was a time when he trusted Jesus Christ as his Lord and as his Savior. And because of that, he is a good man. He stands before God just as if he had never sinned. Amen. And the rest of his life has been predicated on the fact that he trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And by the way, every one of us who have been saved by the grace of God, we can say the same thing. Amen. We don't have our own self-righteousness. In fact, in the eyes of God, our own righteousness are as filthy rags. But when we trust Jesus Christ and his shed blood for the remission of our sin, then we stand before him just as if we had never sinned. So you have the positional goodness, but then you have the practical goodness. And not only does Dr. Lou Baldwin testify of the fact that he'd been saved by the grace of God, but his life has proven that he has practical godliness. In 1 Timothy 4:8, the Bible said, bodily exercise profiteth little. Now, I've heard a lot of people use that to say, well, you ought not be exercising, you ought not be jogging, you ought not be doing that. The Bible doesn't say it doesn't profit any, okay? So go ahead and do your exercise. Most of you need it, okay? But it says, bodily exercise profiteth little. And in reality, what it means here, bodily exercise profiteth only for a little time. And our lifetime is only a little time in comparison to eternity. So bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness, goodness, is profitable unto all things, having promise of life that was now is, and of that which is to come. A good man. A good man. In other words, he practices the right things. Amen. And I didn't have a hard time coming up with a lot of things about Dr. Lou Baldwin that tells me he's a good man. Number one, I think about his liberality. I don't know a man on the face of the earth more liberal in his giving than Dr. Lou Baldwin. I mean, you know, there would have been none of the great things at Crossroads Baptist Church had it not been for he and his dear wife's sacrifices. Amen. And by the way, giving is a good thing. Amen. Amen. Being liberal is a good thing. I want you to be fundamental in your doctrine, but liberal in your giving. Okay. Then I think not only about his generosity, but I think about his encouragement to others. How many people are there scattered around the world today that are doing some great things for God because of his encouragement to them? Now, the Bible says here of Barnabas, he was a good man. And one of the things he did good, Barnabas sold his property and laid it at the apostles' feet. These dear people have done the very same thing, amen. And God has blessed them and used them. Every once in a while, when somebody has a few things, somebody wants to say something bad about it. I never will forget, I was in the office one day, and our general director at that time was Dr. Tom Freeney. And Dr. Freeney had a new Buick Riviera. And one of our missionaries, of all the dumb people, okay? And sometimes missionaries do dumb things, okay? But one of our missionaries came in my office and said, good night. Can you imagine our director having a brand new Buick Riviera? And he was all mad about the director having a good car like that. And I looked at him and I said, son, the first time I met Dr. Tom Freeney, and by the way, he was a big man. He probably weighed 300 pounds, something close to it. I said, first time I met him, he was driving a Volkswagen Beetle. And it had 100,000 miles on it. It's only 2 years old. I said, I think he's got to the point where he deserves Buick Riviera. I mean, by the way, whatever God gives these people, they're worthy of it. Amen. He was liberal. Then he encouraged others. Barnabas encouraged Paul when he was Saul of Tarsus. You remember when Saul went out into the Arabian desert, came back to Damascus. They threw him out of Damascus. So he went down to Jerusalem and he thought, wow, this is wonderful. I'm saved now and I'm going down to Jerusalem and this is where all the Christians are and they're going to receive me and all this. But it didn't happen like that. In fact, the Bible says this. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. By the way, they didn't even want him to join the church. Amen. And they didn't want him to even come. All right. And it said they were afraid of him and so forth. But in verse 27, it says this. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him. And how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. He encouraged others. He's a good man in that he mentored others. I think of the man by the name of John Mark, mentored by Barnabas. And then I think of people all over the world that have been mentored by this good man. So the Bible says he was a good man. He was a good man. Then notice the next statement. And full of the Holy Ghost. I don't think you have to question the fact that this work at Crossroads Baptist Church and the work of COBA is not the work of a man. Amen. It is the work of God through a man. Amen. Now, God uses men. In fact, God in his sovereignty has chosen to use human instrumentality. I don't know why. That's not my business. Amen. I often think of how much God gets done in spite of what he has to work with. And by the way, I'm not looking out when I say that. I'm looking in the mirror when I say that, okay? But I believe that when we look at the work of Crossroads Baptist Church and COBA and so forth, that we have to realize that this was not just the work of a man. This is the work of God through a man. Again, we're told in the Bible, be not drunk with wine, but be ye filled with the Spirit. In other words, he was a Spirit-filled man. Number three, not only did the Bible say he was a good man and full of the Spirit, and I believe from the depth of my heart that can be said about your pastor. By the way, isn't it wonderful how God teaches us different things at different times? I'll never forget when I learned about tithing, and that was a great day. I'll never forget when I learned about faith promise giving. I'd never heard about it before, but I learned about it from a good man of God, and that was a great day. I'll never forget sitting at a Sword of the Lord conference in Cedar Lake, Indiana, and hear Dr. John R. Rice with tears running down his cheeks preaching about the fullness of the Spirit. And I never heard a message on that. And I remember getting out on that lake that night and saying, dear God, I want everything that you have for me. I remember the first time I heard anybody preach on the premillennial return of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, if you would have asked me before that night, are you a premillennialist or an all-millennialist or a post-millennialist? I wouldn't have had any idea what you're talking about. I'd have probably said, I'm a pan-millennialist. I believe it'll all pan out, okay? But I heard Dr. John Edmund Hagee, not John Hagee, okay? A Baptist preacher, John Edmund Hagee, preach on the second coming of Christ. And he laid out the premillennial return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I remember a few years ago looking at some old outlines. And I was preaching from the book of Revelation. I looked at that outline and it said, now it talks about 1,000 years here. And we do not know whether that is a literal 1,000 years or a figurative 1,000 years. And I just had to change it a little bit, okay? We know it is a literal 1,000 years, amen? And what a joy it is to know the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled. In other words, be controlled by the Spirit. Just as a drunk man is controlled by liquor, a man full of the Holy Spirit is controlled by the Holy Spirit. And I listened to Brother Baldwin today, and we reminisced about a lot of things. Old people do that. And just some of the things, and you know, Brother Baldwin, so many of those things, it had to be the Holy Spirit of God. I mean, there's no other way to figure it out. Then again, it said, he was full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, a man of faith. And I think of all of the faith endeavors that this good people have come through. I think of the beginning of Crossroads Baptist Church. I mean, you know, Brother Baldwin had a great business. He could have stayed in business, and he could have done like a lot of other preachers and so forth, you know, be a part-time preacher and a full-time businessman and so forth. But he got consumed with this matter of preaching, and he forgot his business, and he gave himself to the Lord. That takes faith. That takes faith. I think of the building of this particular building right here. And it was a joy to come and preach the dedication service here years ago. That took a lot of faith to do all the things that had to be done to do that. I think of the present endeavor of this big building going on out here. I mean, if you're going to transition and you're going to let somebody else take over, probably a good idea just to let things drift and then let him go through all that mess. Amen? And I saw Brother Baldwin, he said, man, I wish I'd have thought about that. Amen? Brother Kenny could have had all that. Hey, that's faith, okay? And every once in a while, you know, somebody will say, well, Brother Sis, what's the difference between faith and foolishness? And all of us have done some foolish things, amen? What's the difference between faith? You know, you're stepping way out here on this limb and so forth. What's the difference between faith and foolishness? And I thought about that for a long time. I finally decided, hey, that's no problem at all. If it works out, that's faith. If it don't, that's foolishness, amen? But the fact is, you think of so many endeavors that he's done, and it took faith, okay? I think of the beginning of COBA. And he took a lot of criticism, you know. And even today, a lot of people don't understand why such a movement of that nature and so forth. And so it took faith to stand in the face of criticism. By the way, not just from other white people, but from some black people in the world. And those things take faith. And you could go on and on, okay? But here's a man of faith. Then again, the Bible says, and because of him, much people were added to the Lord. Much people were added to the Lord. And only heaven will reveal how many people will be saved because of the ministry of Dr. Lou Baldwin. I think of the people saved right here in Crossroads Baptist Church. I mean, you have year after year after year sent out your best people somewhere else. And God keeps giving them to you, okay? And all of the number, great number of people, thousands and thousands of people that have been saved because of the ministry of Crossroads Baptist Church. I think of the ministry of his sons and his daughter. And now the grandchildren coming along and so forth. And you talk about a legacy, Brother Michael. I think that's what you named this, the legacy of Lou Baldwin. And that's a legacy, okay? The children, the grandchildren. Then I think about all of the souls that are saved and all of the, 20-some-odd churches that have been started out of Crossroads Baptist Church that are in inner cities all over the world. And then I think about the millions and millions of dollars that have been given through this church and through the other COBA churches to world evangelization. That's a unique ministry. So as I read about Barnabas, I could not help but think of Dr. Lou Baldwin. He was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And much people was added to the Lord. We talked a lot about heaven tonight. We read a lot about it, sung about it. Listen to it. Revelation 7:9. And after this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number. By the way, I like that. Amen. I know some people, they think they're the only ones going to heaven. Amen. And, thank God, they're going to be a great multitude. Innumerable number of people is going to be in heaven. Listen to it. All nations and kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. By the way, we might as well practice some of that down here, amen?
All right.
We're going to be doing that for eternity. So it'd be a pretty good idea to just get a little practice down here, okay? And all the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and they fell down before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. I heard about this lady. She just had a habit of every once in a while saying amen or praise the Lord, lifting her hand a little bit, and she just would get real joyful. You know, and one of the deacons came by and said, ma'am, you're disturbing our service. You're going to have to quit doing this. And she said, well, I can't help it. She said, I've just got the Lord in my heart, and I've got the joy of the Lord in my heart, and every once in a while I just have to do that. He said, well, you didn't get it here, so you did have to go somewhere. Man, can you imagine that great innumerable multitude around the throne worshiping God? And I said unto him, sir, let me read another verse. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? Wow, what is this group? Where did they come from? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. How did they know about the blood of the Lamb? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a great verse, amen. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Now, one preacher that got off into hyper-Calvinism said to me one day, said, brother, sis, you ought not use that in soul winning. It doesn't apply to soul winning. It doesn't apply to lost people. And I said, you're too late. I've got hundreds of people saved with it already, okay? And I'm not going to quit using it, amen. It does apply. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Great, innumerable multitude. He was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and faith, and much people were added unto the Lord. I wonder maybe if there isn't some young man here tonight. God's been calling you to preach, and you've never answered that call. I wonder if there might not be somebody here tonight, and God has been calling you to mission field, and you've never answered that call. Could you imagine what would have happened if Brother and Ms. Baldwin had not surrendered their life to God? And can you imagine what might happen if you don't do what God wants you to do? Let's pray together. Our heads are bowed, our